We just want to share about missions today. And with that, you heard the Old Testament reading, "Whom shall I send?" Well, a few hundred years later, our Lord came and he told us what we had to do. So I want to read the New Testament today. We're in Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Hear the word of the Lord. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I will be with you always to the end of the age." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Anybody that knows me has probably had conversations with me about Guatemala. You know, it's been in my heart for 14 years now. And so I'm really talking about something that I enjoy. But it's also a figure of things that are going on all over in the world today. You just heard the story of Marilyn Laszlo and her dedication for half a century, along with Shirley, her sister, who we know and love here in this church, how she translated the Bible. So missions comes in all forms and all shapes. But I want to tell you how I got to Guatemala. And it started with a motorcycle. Strange as it is, a motorcycle did not carry me to Guatemala. I went to Guatemala to ride a motorcycle. And I rode for a week in the mountains, in the cities, up and down, wherever. And I met this really incredible man named David Beam, which some of you know. And he took me to a place that he was working. We call it the tracks. It was the track slum. And anybody who's been around the church for several years has heard us talk about the track slum. And I was just completely moved by the poverty and the just the tin shacks, the little pieces of wood that are cobbled together with a piece of tin over them, and the fact that they're surviving with the dirt floors. And all of a sudden, I changed my mind. I came back. I couldn't let it just be. And I think that's what happens. You know, Jesus didn't heal every blind beggar that he ran into. He could have, but he only chose the ones that the Father told him to heal. And I think that's kind of the way with all of us. We all have different gifts and abilities, different experiences, and God uses all of that, and he places us in the body. You know, the little toe, it's just the little toe. You can't walk good without it. And what happens in the dark when you stub it against something and it hurts? Your eyes are going to water, I'll tell you. So, and that's just the way this is. So this motorcycle that I had, we were riding, and that turned into a second trip, and then a third trip. And over the years, we took five teams of people to build houses down there. So at some point, I should be speaking Spanish, and God was supposed to be translating for me, but I'm not good at learning languages. So recently, we took trip number 8, and we went down to see what was going on. And we had the very distinct joy to meet with Preston and Abby Conger down there. And so You might as well show some pictures. What are we doing here? That we're going to show the little movie, and then I'll give you a little bit more information. Some of our recent slides. Carol and I went down and met with Pastor Miguel, who has been teaching in the church in San Miguel for 40 years, and it's the largest church in this little community of about 3,000. Anyway, as we're down there, like everything else, they had a feeding center at the beginning, and then COVID come along and closed it down. And so they had to build a new center, and you can see the roof is brand new, the walls. We were there on site to see what was actually taking place. And here they're building the tables. They're going to have in the feeding center, they're going to have five tables. They can seat 100 children at a time, and these are the tabletops that are being poured out of concrete. So the progress is moving. We are invested in there, we are hoping to get some other things going on, and Gabo's going to talk about those things. This is David Beam, my long friend, longtime friend, and we're standing there together, and we go back quite a ways. There's Gabriel's mother, and the little guy is Juan Marcos. So here we are. It is with Sylvia. 2 years ago, they were here, Sylvia and Gabo, we just enjoyed having them. Don Maurice is David Beam's wife and a dear sister in the Lord. Again, we just really enjoy being with them. Here we are. I especially for the Millers here. We have the Congors up there. We had a great barbecue that day, and it was just, God just provided a beautiful afternoon. The children played and had a good time, and everybody got to speak Spanish and English, and my Spanglish is about the best I do, So anyway, this is in David's backyard, this is family to us, and so this was just one of the great times. So let's see what else we got on the slideshow. Is this about the place that I have to bring up our guest? Come on up, Gabo. I'll let you tell about your family a little bit.
Okay, good morning. I'm so glad to be here for my third time. And this time I'm come just alone. My wife sent and greetings, and my little one, Juan Marcos, he sent greetings and all the family, and I'm so glad to be here, I had to practice my English just by myself because my wife is not with me, and Mike, he doesn't want to be my interpreter, so I have to put in practice my English. So yeah, this is my family, and I'm so happy to be. I just want to share what is happening now, what is in Guatemala today. I just want to, share how I start in this thing of be a missionary in my own country. That is not common because we always expect a missionary from other place, from United States, from Canada, from Europe. But we are missionaries in our own country. I don't know, maybe 12 years ago, 13 years ago, David Bean, he's my uncle. I call him Uncle David, Tio David. And he called me and he asked me to help him to drive a van for a team from Michigan. And that time I was in college. My idea for my future or my goals in that time, it was different, than today. And he called me, and I need your help to drive a car. And I don't want to be a chauffeur. It's not my idea for life. But he called me maybe two or three times, and I say, okay, I would help you with this team from Michigan. And I remember my first time in a van with a group of 10 people from another country, speaking another language, and in that time, my English, no English, I just say hi and bye and thank you, and I was like in shock because I was in my own country with people who start to ask me many things about the country, about the ministry, and I just say hi, hello, and I remember in that trip, we went to San Miguel that was my very first time in San Miguel, and I see all the people there, how they are suffering, how it's a poor community, and I just say, I don't want to do this. I don't want to come back here. I don't want to drive for more teams. It's really hard for me to understand, and David called me again for the next team. And I couldn't say no. And, every year we receive more teams and more teams. And someday I say, Lord, I want to do this. I really enjoy how people from another countries come and help our people, do something for our community, and I want to do that. I want to be part of this. And my goals, my future, my ideas for my future start to change. And, you know, 13 years later, I'm in my full-time, and I'm still driving for teams. And I decide to learn English, that it's really hard. I'm spending, I don't know, maybe 10 years trying to learn. But I'm here. I'm sharing what is happening in Guatemala. And, yeah, I get involved in a full-time, and then the Lord gave me the best wife that I can imagine, you know. And she's a strong Christian, and we are doing a great team working together, you know, as a family in Guatemala. And, yeah, we are a small family, you know. It's just my wife and I, my parents, and David and Damaris, and we are working as a team in Guatemala, and we are trying to do something for our people, you know, trying to share the gospel in some way. And I say to be a missionary or a mission is like to put the gospel in action. And I say I want to do that. I want to put my gospel what I believe in action, you know. And that's why I'm here. So I don't know if you want to come.
We're going to kind of do a little interview was sort of the idea here, and we've sort of got some of it together. So why exactly? I mean, you could have gone to the tracks, and there, you know, there's hundreds, if not thousands, of poor villages in Guatemala. So why exactly did you choose San Miguel?
Well, when we got married with my wife 5 years ago, and well, almost 5 years ago, don't tell her, in December we...
She's probably listening.
Okay. But yeah, 5 years ago we got married, and we were looking for a place to set our ministry, to start our ministry. And we did many youth retreat. We keep supporting David in at the tracks and in other communities. But we start to pray to God, and we want to be a difference in one place. We don't want to work in different areas. We want to do something for one community. And I remember that we went to San Miguel, and we talked with Pastor Miguel. And he talked about his ministry for the last 40 years there. He started a feeding center for kids. And he was the first pastor in that community. And he opened, you know, to a church for a community. And he, you know, talk about his ministry, and now he, you know, he's had a lot of difficulties and problems because the community is growing, and with my wife, we thought we can do something here. It's a community 55 miles from Guatemala City. It's in the middle of nowhere. It's a remote area with a lot of needs, and I think it's the best place for us. God put in our heart, you know, to do something for that community.
It's also very hot.
Oh, yeah. It's close to the ocean, and we live in a tropical country. It's really hot.
Yeah. Up in Guatemala City, they're at 4,000 feet, and where David and Gabo live, they're at 6,000 feet. So its temperature is about 60 degrees to 75, 80 every day. And... But you go down San Miguel, and we're talking 100 to 110. Big differences, yeah. So Gabo, tell us, what is your future plans quickly for the San Miguel?
Well, with this COVID situation that everybody knows, we decided to build a new place for the feeding center because the old place was not adequate. You know, it's, the kitchen and the dining room is in the same place, and it's not safe for the kids. And government, you know, closed the country and closed the churches and closed our feeding center. And the only way to open again the feeding center for the kids is having a better place. And we, in the middle of this crisis, I think the opportunities come, you know, and we decide to build a new place. I remember that we start this project with, I don't know, maybe $500, and we decide we're going to build something. And until today, we're spending more than $12,000, you know, in that new place. And then got our goal is to reopen the feeding center next January. And but we are working now to improve the kitchen. And this is our, you know, next tape in San Miguel, you know.
Yeah. By the way, there was a photo with all the kids with their little glasses. Maybe you can find it. It was one of those. The kitchen is all wood-fired. So they have open wood fires back here against the far wall that they're cooking this food on. And you have all the kids playing in the kitchen. Government shut it down. It's unsafe. So the new kitchen will have propane gas stoves, and the children will eat outside in the brand new feeding center that is built. And so this is obviously before the COVID.
The COVID, yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you explain a little bit about what's going on with the COVID?
Well, our main goal with our ministry is to break the cycle in San Miguel. San Miguel is a small town in the middle of big, huge sugarcane fields, and sugarcane companies, you know, contract people from that village to work for them. But it's not like a contract; they, you know, they give them a way to work or to live, and they can make around $10 per day. And it's not, you know, too much, and they don't have a bird control, and it's a big families living in San Miguel. So little kids with parents, and the parents have to go to work into the sugar fields, and the little kids wait until their parents come back to their places to eat something. The worst problem in Guatemala is malnutrition. And when all these kids start to grow, they leave their school and start to work in the sugar companies. So it's like a cycle. They don't have any opportunities. And when COVID come to Guatemala, the president closed the country, as everywhere. And sugar companies say, we don't have more job for you, more work for you. And all the people live day by day. They lost their jobs, and they, you know, have nothing, no savings, no nothing to live. So we decide with my wife to do something for that community, because people don't have nothing to eat. They live in a, you know, difficult situation, and we start to see people with white flags. I don't know if you can see. And that means that they don't have anything to eat. So they walk to the main plazas, to the main streets with a white light, you know, telling everybody, we don't have to eat, please give us something. And some people of San Miguel start to doing that. And that's why we decide to create a project that we call COVID Aid. And we start to deliver food to the community. Staple food is the
staple, yes.
Staple food, yeah. You know, oil, milk, rice, beans, and until today we have delivered around of 30,000 pounds of food, and we start with the same with not money with that project, but God has been wonderful with us. You know, we can say that God bless our ministry in ways that I can, you know, think. But yeah, that's the project of of COVID. And
did you have a picture of the? There was a picture of them unloading a truck. It was in one of them. I don't know if you can't find it. It was in things. There you are. We're talking large truck loads of food and stuff. I think you said you got a recently received a donation of how many? 1,000 cases?
Yeah, 1,000 boxes of rice. Yeah, that's my
1,000 cases of rice. And we did a little quick math. It was about 20 pallet loads of rice. So it takes about at least 2 semi trucks to carry it.
Yeah.
So I mean that's the size of the stuff that they're doing, and you can see there they're unloading some of the rice. So
yeah, our goal for next year is to reopen the feeding center next January. Also, we want to contract a teacher who can give tutorings to the kids. Because with COVID, all the schools closed, and in Guatemala, not all the village or countries has a good internet connection, and they can continue with their classes online. So the 60% of the kids in the rural area in Guatemala leave the school last year, and this year the school still closed, and they're going to reopen until next year. So if we want to do something for them, we have to improve their education, their their health in some way. And yeah, this is our next step. Next January we're going to open the feeding center. So we are working hard in the new building, and then we want to improve the kitchen. And they don't have to stay in home for the long day waiting for their parents to eat something. We want to provide them food, to provide them, in some way, education. And this is just a relief. It's always, as I always say with our friends in San Miguel, we just want to give you a relief. But you have to start to find your own solutions, And that is why I'm here, telling you that we are giving to some people, to this community, our relief, And yeah, and that's okay. It for ministry.
Yeah. how much, about how much is the new kitchen going to cost?
Well, we need to improve, stove and rebuild a kitchen, and we're thinking around $10,000, to do all the project.
Yeah, so that's the big thing, and again, the feeding center, which has the little roof on it and the tables, all the tables are now poured and set, and now they're working on tearing down the wall in front to enlarge that seating area even more, and then there's bathrooms and the kitchen that have to be upgraded to handle that many kids. Right now they've got a couple toilets that just barely, they're good for 5 or 6 people, but not for a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
So, okay. Anything else?
Well, I just want to say thank you for letting me share what we are doing. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad to be here. And yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
All right.
So thank you so much.
Thank you, Gordon. So I just want to wrap up a little bit. Missions is always something that people don't understand, and they think, well, what is a mission? What is a missionary? I can't do a mission. I'm not a missionary. But the definition of a mission is something, it's really a military-type term, but it works. It's a set of instructions or objectives that are given by the leader to perform. That is your task at hand. And Matthew 28 very clearly said, go and teach and make disciples. And so, as a military term, airplanes you know, fighter jets. Mr. Winder will know about missions on airplanes. You know, so that you got missions on airplanes. You got missions for the soldiers. You have missions in the National Space Administration space program. You have missions to the moon, et cetera. Businesses and governments make mission statements to say, why are we in existence as a business? We have foreign missions. Governments have foreign missions that we call embassies. Missions are local. We have the Boise Rescue Mission. So missions is not necessarily anything other than a set of plans and instructions of what you are to do, and we expect you to follow that in that business or adventure. Jesus gave us the command, and because of that, just like the pilot that flies on an airplane has got thousands of people behind them, you have everybody from the person who fuels the airline to the air controller that monitors the flight to the technicians that service the engines and, if necessary, load whatever cargo is on the plane. You'll have thousands of people for one person. I think Marilyn Laszlo is one of those people. If she was in the military, she would be Top Gun. 50 years, you know, it took her 24 years just to translate the New Testament into Papua New Guinea. Praise the Lord for people like that. As a believer in Jesus, whether you ask for it or not, God has brought you here. You are not an accident. This is not an accidental moment. God has brought you here to put you in the body with your special gifts, your special anointings, your special knowledge and experiences, all of that together. God knows where you have a special task. And your job is just to be faithful to the Lord, because he didn't tell you where to go. He just said, go. And because of that, whether you're going to the food bank down in Boise or you're serving food at the rescue mission, those are all part of the support of lifting up the gospel of Jesus and praising the Lord and sharing the message to other people. So we are all missionaries. Whether you ask for it or not, it's on your business card somewhere down there. So you got to accept it. And Paul writes about it. Some have got hospitality. Some have got teaching skills. We have all got those skills. We are all missionaries. Some go and others send. You have to think about our Lord. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were very well off. Do you think that those ragtag, unemployed guys hanging around with Jesus, going from city to city with no bed? Jesus said, you know, the Son of God has no place to sleep and lay his head. And they're going around. But Mary and Martha would feed these guys every time they came in town. I want to know who's ready to feed 13 people walking in your front door. I mean, they were well off. They had the ability to do that. God uses people with finances to help support the missions. And so that's kind of what this is all about. Everybody has a place. Everybody is a missionary. We just have to find our place and our task in that tapestry of life that the Lord has given us. excuse me. Ephesians 6 says, put on the whole armor of God. Why does he use that metaphor? Because this is a battle. It is a battle toward good and evil. It is a battle for the Lord, and we are to work. Just as if we are on one mission, we need to have a whole lot of people behind to support that mission activity. Another way that you can help is maybe helping Gabo. Our church has about 8 missionary people that we support, besides the Congers and Guatemala. We've got people in Morocco. We've got people in other places of foreign, about 8 different groups of missionaries that we financially support. I mean, I'm proud of that as a church that we do these things. I also want to formally announce that we are planning as a church a mission trip to Guatemala next spring. And after Easter, we don't know exactly all the details, but if you're interested in coming along, that'll be coming up in the springtime. Talk to myself, my wife Carol, or Pastor Phil. I think if you're interested, at this moment, there's plenty of room for everybody. So the prophet Isaiah sat there on the riverbank watching the Lord and listening to his message. And he heard the voice of the Lord say, "Who shall I send? Who will go for us?" And this is the same question today that is being asked of every one of us. Today the Lord is asking, "Whom shall I send and who will go?" And it is you that have got to decide the answer. I can't decide for you, but everyone has to answer that question, "Whom shall I send?" Let us pray. Lord Jesus, touch our hearts with your servants so that we can see the work that needs to be done to raise us up to the tasks at hand. Thank you for loving us so much and for giving us a purpose for living. In your name we pray. Amen.